This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكر في الكتاب إدريس إنه كان صديقا نبيا ورفعناه مكانا عليا صدق الله العظيم. So now in verse 56, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces yet another prophet from the galaxy of Anbiya, and that is Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam. I'm sure you would have observed and noticed by now, my brother, my sister, listener, viewer, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this chapter of the Quran, Surah Maryam chapter 19, is briefly introducing the different Anbiya. Of course, there is a chapter dedicated to Anbiya, Suratul Anbiya, in the 17th juz of the Quran. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us brief introductions. And now in verse 56, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrate to them the tale, the story of Idris alayhi salam. The scholars say, أَوَّلُ مَنْ خَطَّ بِالْقَلَمِ. He was the first person to write. أَوَّلُ مَنْ خَطَّ بِاللِّبَاسِ. He was the first person to kind of sew and sew some clothing, etc. Likewise, hisab, calculation, numbers, etc. is also directed to Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam, that he was the person who had introduced the fun and the skill of calculation, numbers, etc. And then, of course, humans develop and so on and so forth. But this is amongst the skills that is directed to Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam. Innahu kana siddiq. He was absolutely truthful, truthful. We briefly touched on siddiq in the discussion of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, and we said that Siddiq is a person who is honest, and there is honesty in his actions, in his statements. There is consistency between his utterances and his actions. And today that's the biggest problem, the disparity. We don't walk the talk. We don't walk. And I'm talking about myself, frankly, and I'm sure you would agree. That's the problem by and large we all have. And that is why I say that when we rectify others, we need to do it in a measured tone, because there is inconsistency in the actions and the statements of every one of us. Everyone, as a scholar or a humble scholar, I can try to advocate the virtue, but I know there's disparity in my life, and that applies to every one of us. So we should be toned and measured in the manner. Of course, we shouldn't fall short. We shouldn't fall short in conveying the message. But rather I'm saying is, we should not come across in a way that, listen, I've done it all right, you're doing it wrong. Look at my life, man, and look at your life. You're contradicting yourself. No, the truth is, you know what, my brother, I'm conveying to you what the right message is, though I have fallen short. Under this ayah, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. In chapter 2, in the first juz in Surah Baqarah, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ, do you advocate goodness to people? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, and you forget yourself. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ, whereas you read the book in which the prohibition and the warnings of this has been mentioned, that do not advocate and you do not practice. Under this ayah in Bayanul Quran, it is mentioned, and I'll just give you the synopsis of it, that the ayah is not saying that if you don't practice, you cannot preach. But rather the ayah is saying that when you are advocating, then start practicing. So the ayah is there to impress upon the preacher to practice. And the ayah is not there to prohibit the non-practicing preacher. And there's a big difference between the two. Understand this academically. This is important. The ayah is not there to prohibit the non-practicing preacher, but rather the ayah is there to stimulate the non-practicing preacher from practicing. So you're telling the people, now start practicing it. And it doesn't mean that till you haven't practiced, you cannot preach. No, that's not correct. A lot of people say that. That's incorrect. We need to start practicing. So I'm saying that Siddiq, consistency. Hassan Basri, when one of his neighbors described him, إِنَّهُمْ رُؤُنْ سَرِيرُهُ كَعَلَانِيَتِهِ وَقَوْلُهُ كَفِعْلِهِ إِذَا أَمَرَ بِمَعْرُوفٍ كَانَ أَعْمَلَ النَّاسِ بِهِ وَإِذَا نَهَى عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ كَانَ أَتْرَكَ النَّاسِ لَهُ. لا إله إلا الله. There was harmony between his private and his personal life. his public life. In other words, the life you've seen of this man publicly and privately, it was the same. Can you imagine that? You know how long it takes to accomplish that? Because it is so easy to create this image. It is so easy to create this image in public. But personally, in our life, every one of us know where we stand, and we ask Allah never to expose. We ask Allah never to expose. And that is why I even say you need to have a close relation with a scholar, with the pious, but do not get too close. Yes, do not get too close. Because if you're going to get up too close, you're going to be exposed to the evil of that person. And I'm afraid it would be a rude awakening. So, of course, keep closeness so that you can have that transmission. But there are many things privately of each individual where, you know what, you would be disappointed. You would be disappointed. In Sahih Muslim, in the Muqaddama on page 20, there is this famous incident where Abdullah bin Mubarak speaks about Abdullah bin Muharrar, that I wanted to meet him and I had never met him. And I said, if I don't meet him and I die, then on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah had to tell me, لو خيرت بين أن أدخل الجنة وبين أن ألقى عبد الله لاخترت أن ألقاه ثم أدخل الجنة. If on the day of Qiyamah, Allah told me, do you want to go straight to Jannah or meet Abdullah bin Muharrar and then go? I would say, Allah, I want to meet him first. But subsequently, when I met him and then on close interaction, I was so disappointed. كانت بعرة أحب إلي منه. Leave alone giving preference to an animal. Probably I would give more regard to the droppings of an animal than that individual. Such was my disappointment. So the point I'm saying is Siddiq, the honesty between action and statement. That was Hassan Basri. وقوله كفعله. His statement and his life was in absolute harmony. Siddiq, we spoke about honoring your word in the previous segment regarding Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And again, here it's been reinforced here under the tale of Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam. He was Siddiq. And of course, every Nabi was Siddiq. Nabiya, he was a prophet, Sahibul Wahi, he had received revelation from the Almighty. وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. And we elevated him to a high rank. Most of the scholars say, yeah, the elevation refers to in position, meaning in rank and in status. While some have also argued that it is physical ascension. Just like Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was elevated to the skies. And of course, it is our aqidah that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is alive and he will be brought back on earth. Some have argued that Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam was also elevated to the skies and then he was given death there. However, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his tafsir has objected on many of these narrations that they are unauthentic. We limit it to the extent of the Quran. The Quran said, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. And we elevated him to a high rank and a high position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had conferred upon him. Yes, in the night of Mi'raj, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended to the heavens and he met the different anbiya, then he also met with Idris alayhi salatu wa salam. So that's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes in those two verses the mention of Idris alayhi salatu wa salam. In verse 58, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a general overarching mention and address regarding all the prophets from the inception of the chapter. Right, this is now verse 57. We concluded and we had started from the beginning of the surah with Zakaria alayhi salatu was salam, and then Maryam alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, and Musa and Harun, and the list continues. So in verse 58, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. These are the people, meaning these anbiya, whom Allah has favored. مُنْعَمْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Right? We ask Allah daily to guide us on the path of those whom Allah has أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah has favored. أُولَٰئِكَ these الَّذِينَ those أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah had favored them. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَيَانِيَا, as we would say in Nahwa and in grammar, meaning the galaxy of the prophets. مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ آدَمْ. They all were the descendants of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Adam is our ancestor, the ancestor of all mankind. So min dhurriyyati Adam, they all were the offspring of Adam. من ذريه ادم وممن حملنا مع نوح. And they were the descendants of those who we took on board the ark with Nuh. So everyone was the descendants of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and some of them were also the descendants of those who boarded the ark with Nuh alayhi salam. And it refers to all the prophets mentioned here with the exception of Idris alayhi salam, because Idris alayhi salam was the forefather of Nuh alayhi salam. So between Adam and Nuh was the time and the period of Idris alayhi salam. So with the exception of Idris alayhi salam, all the other prophets that have been mentioned here fit under the discussion of being the descendants of those who boarded the ark with Nuh alayhi salam. وَمِمَّنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. And some were from the offspring of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And of course, that was Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and that was Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa Israel, and some were the descendants of Israel, and we know, or we ought to know, Israel was the laqab of Sayyidina Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam. Il meaning Allah, Isra meaning Abd. So Israel meaning Abdullah. And Ismail, again, il means Allah. Isma from the word sami'a, which means to hear. So Ismail literally means Allah heard. Alhamdulillah alladhi wahaba li 'ala al-kibari Ismail wa Ishaq inna rabbi la sami'u ad-du'a. All praise belongs to Allah who favored me with Ishaq and Ismail. Alhamdulillah alladhi wahaba li 'ala al-kibar despite my old age inna rabbi la sami'u ad-du'a. Surely my Allah responds to du'a. So Israel, who was from the children of Israel, from the children of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, that is Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, Sayyidina Zakaria alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam, etc., etc. وَمِمَّنْ هَدَيْنَا وَجْتَبَيْنَا. And they are all amongst those whom we had guided and selected, whom we had guided and selected. Study the life of every Nabi, and you would see how Allah guides, inspires, and how Allah makes a Nabi and an example for mankind. How Allah makes a Nabi an example. When you look at the richness of the teachings of a Nabi, then you realize this is the ambassador of Allah on earth. How Allah creates and gives the humans this perfect example. Well, here's the man. Follow him and you will get every guidance and answer to every aspect of your life. And hence, you know, the scholars tell us why Allah has sent a prophet as a human and not as an angel. Because many people objected and they said, no, the prophet should be an angel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ لَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَكَ الرَّسُولَ. If the earth was inhabited by angels, we would send an angel, so then the angels could relate with the angels. And بَشَرٌ مَلَكٌ, as appears in قَصَصُ النَّبِيِّينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a human so that we could relate with him in every aspect of our life. So he goes through hunger, he goes through thirst, he has emotions, he has a spouse, he has children, he has sadness. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided us through all these fine emotions, how he controls himself, how he contains himself, how he conducts himself. مِمَّنْ هَدَيْنَا وَجْتَبَيْنَا. They are all amongst those whom Allah had guided, and of course, وَجْتَبَيْنَا, whom Allah had, we had selected, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had selected. Now coming to them all, إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَانِ. إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَانِ. When the verses of Allah are recited before them, خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا, they fall down in prostration. سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا, and weeping before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, this is a verse of sajda, amongst the different places in which we make sajda at tilawat. So when the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited, kharru, they fall down, sujjadan, in prostration, wa bukiyan, and weeping to Allah. In Madarikut Tanzil, under this ayah, it is written that a person by the name of Salih rahimahullah said, I seen the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, and I recited Quran before him, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Salih, hadhihi al-qira'a, fa'ayna al-buka? Oh Salih, you're reading the Quran, where is the tears? May Allah bless us with that feeling. that feeling of understanding that emotion. And remember, it's not only understanding that can make you cry. There are people who have not understood, but just that closeness and that bond, knowing that this is the revelation of the Almighty, they would tear. And then there are, on the other hand, a person could know the meaning and yet he could not cry. So to cry is also something required, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described these anbiya. This is an amazing deduction in Bayanul Quran, and I just marvel at this here. So the Mufassir Rahimahullah Hakim al-Ummah writes in Bayanul Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about two qualities here, two attributes of the Anbiya. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the fact that they all were beloved in the eyes of Allah. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about how they would bow and prostrate and weep. The first one to indicate that they were beloved was to address, because with regards to the Anbiya, there have been two types of humans, or two categories of human. Those that unfortunately have been blasphemous with regards to Anbiya. They've made derogatory comments. They have insulted the prophets. And then there have been others who have elevated them outside outside the realms of mortality, outside the boundaries of mortality, that no, these are not humans. These are, absolute creatures themselves. They have absolute powers. So some have, na'udhu billah, degraded the Anbiya, and others have claimed that certain prophets are the Almighty and they are absolute and they need to be worshipped. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed both, and this is mentioned in Bayanul Quran, and thereafter Hakim al-Ummah also writes, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِأَسْرَارِ كَلَامِهِ الْمُودَعَ فِي كِتَابِهِ. That only Allah knows the detail of the secrets of His speech which has been placed there. But this is what dawns upon me, the Mufassir writes, and hence I endeavor to share it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they were noble and they were pious and they were lofty, it refutes the allegation of those who have heard nasty things towards them, accusing Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam of immorality, or accusing Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, or some people say nasty things about Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, etc. Allah says, no, mimman hadayna wajtabayna, we selected them, we chose them. I mean, Allah's selection, Allah's choice, Allah would, obviously it would be the best of His creation. And then in the latter part, so sometimes there's ifrat, where you are deficient in recognizing the rank of the Nabi. And sometimes there's tafreet, where you go overboard. You go overboard and now you elevate the Prophet and you say he has the powers of Almighty and he is the absolute being. So now you take it to another level. So Allah refutes that by saying, no, they were servants themselves. They were servants themselves. They would bow to Allah. They would prostrate to Allah. So the balance between the two is, do not be blasphemous. Do not be disrespectful to the galaxy of Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. I love speaking about that incident, or rather the write-up on that incident, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in Juz 16, in chapter 20 in Surah Taha, regarding Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, where he respectfully erred and he ate from the forbidden tree. وَعَصَىٰ آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَىٰ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had used two strong words, عَصَىٰ and غَوَىٰ. Those who know Arabic will understand. Of course, the scholars will tell you, yeah, ghawa doesn't mean the common meaning of ghawa, losing your direction, etc. No, never. Ma dalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa. Regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not err by mistake nor deliberately. And likewise, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, ghawa doesn't mean he lost his direction. No. Adam is a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ghawa has a different meaning, and I don't want to go into all the details. You want to read it, read Ahkamul Quran. Abu Bakr Jassas has written extensively on this here, where he deduces the rulings from the verses. He says, لَا يَجُوزُ لِأَحَدِنَا أَن يَذْكُرْ ذَلِكَ عَنْ آدَمْ إِلَّا إِذَا ذَكَرْنَاهُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى أَوْ قَوْلِ نَبِيِّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَأَمَّا أَن يَبْتَدِئَ مِنْ قِبَلِ نَفْسِهِ فَلَيْسَ بِجَائِزٍ لَنَا فِي آبَائِنَا الْأَدْنِينَ فَكَيْفَ فِي أَبِينَا الْأَقْدَمِ الْأَكْرَمِ الْأَعْظَمِ النَّبِيِّ الَّذِي عَذَرَهُ اللَّهُ وَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. That we cannot make reference to Adam alayhi salam by saying Asi and Ghawi. And I use the words exactly in the Quranic words, because we got to thread very sensitively. These are Anbiya. We only discuss it in the context like Allah said it. But we don't start saying Adam alayhi salam did wrong and he was deficient. No. We limit ourselves to the vocabulary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the discussion as Allah has conveyed it to us. With regards to referring to someone, he erred, he made a mistake, he transgressed, we should be selective in the choice of words we use with our recent ancestors, how we approach a mistake they made. If this is my forefather or great-grandfather in my choice, in my expression, in my terminology, then how dare we blurt things out of line, disrespectful, when we address in the first of Allah's creation, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah himself had subsequently made mention of, that Allah had excused and Allah had overlooked, and that how great Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was in the court of Allah. ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. So that's it. Verse 58 concludes the discussion of the pious, the noble. And as is the pattern of the Quran, after that Allah switches to the discussion of the wicked, the unfortunate. May Allah make us from the former, that is the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's qualities. Of course, we can never have wahi and we can never become a prophet, but we can follow the teachings of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is the balance, that despite their lofty rank and despite their status, what was their condition? They were humble. They were bowing before Allah. They were prostrating before Allah. So may Allah make us amongst those. May Allah make us amongst those that we can also increase in our prostration and we can increase in our weeping. May Allah give us that feeling, that flavor, that spiritual ecstasy when communicating with the Almighty, that we overwhelmed with tears and we weep out of His love and His fear. رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. Amongst those who will be given shade on the throne of Allah, under the throne of Allah on the day of Qiyamah, is the one who tears out of the fear of Allah.